Leo Frank, Georgia Supreme Court, Appeals Records 1913, 1914, page 1113. Visible translated text is as follows, 82. The little girl was Mary Perkins. He never said anything at all about Mary Perkins. We pressed him that day as to whether he saw Mary Fagan or not. He finally told us that he saw her dead body. He never did tell us that he heard a lady scream, though we asked him about it. He said he did not hear anybody scream while he was sitting on the box. He said he didn't hear anything at all that day. He never said anything about Mr. Frank having hit her and having hit her too hard. He never said anything about somebody running on tiptoes from the metal department and back again. He said he did not hear any stamping. He did not tell us anything about Mr. Frank telling him how to lock the door. He did not tell us anything about Mr. Frank having a cord in his hand at the top of the steps, or that Frank looked funny about his eyes or that his face was red. He didn't tell us that he went back there and found the little girl with a rope around her neck and a piece of underclothing, or that he went back to Mr. Frank and told him the girl was dead, or that he wrapped her in a piece of cloth. He said it was a crocus sack. He did not say anything about Mr. Frank saying shush. He didn't say that he put the sack on his shoulder and that body dangled round about his legs. He said he never saw the ribbon. Didn't know where it was. We asked him whether there was any thought of burning the body, and he said no. He didn't know anything about that. He never said anything about his promising to come back and burn the body, or that he said to Mr. Frank, "You are a white man and done it, and I am not going down there and burn it myself," or that Mr. Frank had arranged to give his bond and send him away, or that Frank said he would have a place to get in by when he came back to burn the body, or said he owed a Jew 10 cents and paid it. He did not tell us of any conversation he had with Mr. Frank on Tuesday after the murder, in which Mr. Frank said, "If you had come back on Saturday and done what I told you, there wouldn't have been any trouble." As to the scene between Conley and me when I undertook to convince him that I knew he could write on Sunday, May 18th, I called him up at Chief Lanford's office, gave him a paper and pencil, and told him that we understood he couldn't write, and now we knew he could write, and we wanted him to write what we told him. He sat there and looked at us while we were talking, and I told him to write as I dictated, and he picked up the pencil and wrote immediately. We convinced him that we knew he could write, and then he wrote. Redirect examination. I got information as to Conley writing through my operations while I was out of town. McWorth told me when I returned. I got no information personally about Conley being able to write from the pencil company people. Personally, I did not get information as to Conley's being able to write from pencil company. I got it from outside sources, wholly disconnected with the pencil company. As to whom I first communicated anything about Mrs. White's statement about seeing a Negro down there, my impression is I told it in my many conversations with Black and Chief Lanford and Bass Rosser.